Welcome to season 3 of the Mindfulness Pilates podcast. I'm Beverly Densham, Pilates teacher of over 23 years. I really look forward to bringing you tips to reduce back pain, to feel good, relaxation, positive affirmation, and inspiration every week to inspire you in body and mind for more relaxation, stretching, core stability, back strength, and happiness. So, Emma, big welcome to today's Mindfulness Pilates podcast. It's all about bringing more strength and happiness and calm and health and well-being to our beautiful listeners today. So, Emma, thank you so much for being on the podcast.
Thanks for having me, Bev.
That's all right. Would you like to share sort of what you do and what your sort of job title is to start with?
Yes, I run an art wellbeing project for Southend Borough Council and Metal Arts Organisation here in the southeast of England. And I also am in private practice as an art psychotherapist.
Yeah, that's lovely. So we were really lucky to meet through Women in Business, and it's been absolutely wonderful for me personally trying out art wellbeing with you, which I love doing with you. Month in, month out, it's really, really fantastic. And I might share a little bit more about my art wellbeing experience with you later on. And then you've been trying out the Pilates with me as well.
Yeah, I've been really enjoying that. I've been doing Pilates for a number of years, but your Pilates I find really helpful.
Yeah, so we've ended up starting a bit on the Pilates front. So what's the reasons for you sort of getting into Pilates, and how has it helped you so far and then working together?
So I got into Pilates because I have a curvature of the spine and I wanted to have a strong core. I am an artist. I do a lot of sitting down with my work or standing up at an easel, but with clients it's sitting at a table for long periods of time, and I wanted to be able to be strong. So that got me on my Pilates journey. And then when I met you, Women in Business, I was really intrigued by this idea of it being mindful and sort of more targeted. And I've really enjoyed working on that aspect with you, thinking about the mind and the body together, not just going to, well, I've had traditional Pilates, so it was just about the body, but this way it's far more holistic and it ties in with the latest neuroscience and what we're finding out through therapy theory and experimentation, is that, you know, a holistic approach to therapy is so much more successful if we can think of the mind-body as one.
Very interesting. So as you say, obviously when you do the mindfulness Pilates with me, we're actually doing it on Zoom. So how do you find that? Do you find that? I mean, my clients generally find it just as beneficial. How do you find it?
Yeah, I find it just as beneficial. Obviously, if you were paying for a one-to-one in a studio, it would be more expensive. So it's much more accessible this way. But also I feel like I've got you there because you're in the room with me, even though it's on a screen. I can do it from the comfort of my home, but you're always there. You're great, Bev, because you always like make me move the camera if you can't see me. So I always feel you're really, really paying attention to me individually. And like I said, I don't think I could afford a one-to-one in a studio. So it makes it really affordable and really accessible.
I'll have to put my prices up. Anyway, so how do you find it?
But no, because you could, you know, you might get more people, you know, you would have to hire a studio, wouldn't you? So in a way, it keeps it more accessible for everybody.
Yeah. I mean, I do teach in person at a studio as well. But yeah, most of it's like this now, which is, I have to say, is really fantastic. And how do you find the meditation, the mindset? You said you like the mindfulness side of it. So within the mindfulness Pilates, I bring in the breathing, the relaxation, different meditations, different styles of breathing, the positive affirmations, sometimes visualization, 1 minute journaling. So how do you find all that, those bits?
Yeah, I love that. I love the journaling bit. I love stopping and thinking, you know, what does your body need? What's going on for you right now? I do that a lot. Anyway, in my own well-being kind of maintenance, I love the cards because it just gets you thinking outside the box, gets you thinking alternatively. So yeah, I really look forward to our sessions. And I find afterwards the next day, it's really targeted those areas that you've asked me, what do I need to do? I find the next day, oh yeah, that's definitely been worked at.
Yeah, so we wanted to work on triceps, backs of the arms.
Yeah,
both improving the posture, but you particularly wanted to work on the strength and the tone, for example, of the backs of the arms, which is you can do in brilliant ways. You did it with weights. So it's like Pilates weight training, but with lighter weights. You did some really good weights work, so obviously to target that area. And so yeah, it's really good. So I thought we'd pause at this point before we delve more into psychotherapy and art therapy and the world of mental health and the mind even more. We'll pick a affirmation of the day. So I'm going to pick one from the Happy and Calm card for today's podcast. This is for you. This is for you listening. This is for me as well. So I'm going to see with the best card of the day. I feel like sliding them today, actually. So I'm going to slide them on the table and pick the best card for the podcast today. So we're going to go for this one. Let's see what we got. Oh my gosh, we got strength. I am strong. I keep myself fit and strong every day.
Well, that is definitely something I'm working towards as I'm 57 this year. And I know I'm looking forward to, 60, 65. I want to be strong. I want to be fit. I want to be able to carry on doing the work that I love. And that requires, not only an inner strength, but also a physical strength to keep doing the work I'm doing.
Yeah, that's absolutely fantastic. And I think you do a lot already, for your health and well-being. So for you listening right now, what does that mean to you today? What does that mean to me today? For me, it's I feel an enormous gratitude that my strength is back this week, because after having COVID and being really ill with that, it took a while. When I first went back to work, the first couple of days were really difficult from an energy point of view. And obviously we work in professions that like looking after people. So you've got to have your batteries filled up to do your work. But by Wednesday, so this week, it's just so nice to feel normal again and be doing my usual level of Pilates, for example, as opposed to be back just walking to the corner of the street and hardly doing anything, because you've just got to build up very slowly. So I think it's a wonderful thing to, it's something we can always keep working on, our strength. I think that's the wonderful thing about it. We can always get stronger in every way. So yeah, have a think about what that means to you today. So let's delve into, how did you get into psychotherapy? Or perhaps first of all, start, what is psychotherapy?
Psychotherapy is a form of counselling. It's traditionally a kind of deeper form of counselling whereby the patient works with us, or the client, participant, whatever you'd like to call them, in very gently and very carefully looking at the difficult feelings and emotions they may be feeling or that may be hampering their day-to-day life. And to very carefully have a look back with them on their life journey to see what may have caused these feelings, what may have been unprocessed, what traumas they may have been through that need to be reprocessed, relooked at in a very gentle and careful way, obviously. So you wouldn't delve straight in to something painful on the first session. It's, a qualified psychotherapist will take their time and build up the relationship with the client. A lot is also about the relationship, the alliance, the alliance between the therapist and their client. So for many of my clients, for example, they may not have had people they could trust in their childhood, and therefore trust has become an issue for them in their adulthood. So part of the therapeutic work is to have that trusting alliance with your client. The art aspect is that it's almost like having a third person in the room. You've got this third thing in the room. It's not just you and the client. There's the art materials, there's the art making. So that can be very helpful if you're talking about something very private and personal, something that you may have been led to think is shameful. Having art acts as a distraction. It can also produce good chemicals in the brain, helping you to calm yourself. It's self-soothing. We can use art as metaphors. I've worked a lot with children who aren't able to put into words what's happened to them, but they can draw images and imagery and metaphor that helps you get an understanding of their world.
Yeah. So do you want to share more about your life and work journey? Because it's quite a fascinating read. And I'm not in the bio, we haven't got it all in there. So at the beginning of today's podcast. So it'd be nice for you to share in your own words your quite fascinating journey through the art, the education, and then into massively into mental health.
Yeah.
In that area.
So I was an arty child. So I was like, that was the only sort of thing I was really good at, and spent most of my time in the art room. I had a difficult childhood. I found the art space was my haven at school. I think that's true for a lot of people. It might be the football pitch, or it might be the music room, but you know, there's usually a space where you feel the most comfortable. And I was really encouraged by my art teacher. So I was able to go to art college and do a degree. I had lots of physical health problems. So I had asthma and eczema, I think, because of my childhood, and nothing would make it better. Hospital stays. I had to go to hospital as a student at university, have been inpatient with my eczema. I was like singing detective, you know, where he's like bandaged up. Dennis Potter's singing detective. I don't know if you watched it on the telly in the 80s. He was like bandaged up. That was me. As an art student, yeah. Nothing made it better until I went to therapy when I was like in my 20s.
Wow.
And the therapy helped my asthma and eczema. And it was they are somatic body, the way the body shows trauma and stress. One of the ways it can show trauma and stress, the body holds a score. Bessel van der Kolk has written a sort of best-selling book lately that all of us therapists have read, which goes into detail about how the body holds on to memory, traumatic memory. Anyway, I've had lots of therapy over my lifetime, and I can say it has just really helped me physically and mentally. After getting my degree, I wanted to travel, did a little bit of traveling as a younger person, and then realized if I was a teacher, I could travel even further. So got my teaching qualification and then taught in London, and then ended up teaching in Africa for 10 years in Botswana, which I absolutely loved. And then while I was out there, had something very sort of awful happen to me, very traumatic. And went back into therapy and was able to do dance therapy. There was a dance therapist out in Botswana, which is quite unusual and unique, but there she was, Dr. Eva Avalos, who was a medical doctor. She was actually an AIDS researcher for Harvard AIDS, and was also a dance therapist. So that was great. So she led a group once a week, and that really helped me get through a very difficult time in my personal life. And after I'd been in the group with her for 2 years, she said, "Did you know there's this thing called art therapy?" And I was like, "Really? That's fantastic. Tell me more about it." Mm-hmm. So she told me about it, and that was it. I thought, this is what I have to do. So I came back to the UK, got onto a master's art therapy course at Goldsmiths, and trained to be an art psychotherapist, and never looked back, really. So that's what I've been doing for the last sort of 16, 17 years. And when I went to Goldsmiths and met other people training, and, you know, joined in all those sort of forums and student groups and staff, and the whole experience at Goldsmiths, it was like I found my tribe, you know, I found my clan, everything made sense. And I've just loved it ever since. So, yeah.
Yeah, that's amazing. And what are some of the areas of mental health that you help with your psychotherapy, art therapy work?
So I've been really lucky. I've worked, when I was training, I worked in an NHS team working with children and their families. And then they kept me on afterwards. So I worked for them for a few years. Also worked for a refuge, a women's refuge, with women and children fleeing domestic violence, and who had experienced very traumatic domestic violence, domestic abuse. And I worked for a refuge in Essex for 16 years. So that was really a privilege. And also gave me a lot of experience of working with children that have experienced trauma. I don't know if you know this, but 1 in 5 children witness domestic violence in the house. If they may not see it, but they can hear it, or they can experience their mothers feeling depressed or anxious because of it. Yeah. So, and in that 1 in 5, 1 in 3 of those children may have experienced another form of abuse. So sexual, physical, emotional. So yeah, that was a real eye-opener and a real privilege to work with those children and those women. I've also worked, I run a community project for my local council, which I love. The work behind me is done by our participants. So we offer a free service, one of the few free things. They can come and do 12-week courses with us, doing art wellbeing. So I love that job. And it's in partnership with a local arts organisation, Metal Arts. So they have artists in residence, so we can do hybrid work with them. So it's very exciting, very cutting edge. So I love that. I've run groups for young carers. I've run groups for... I do training overseas for a charity called Stepping Stones in Botswana, where we train. They don't have any... very few child psychotherapists. Well, last time I went, they had no child psychotherapists in the whole of Botswana. They may have a few psychotherapists now there, but very few on the ground and very few that work with the most vulnerable children that have no money. So we are working with a charity called Stepping Stones that trains social workers and teachers in the local schools how to use sort of simple art techniques to help when they're trying to counsel or talk to children that have suffered from physical, sexual, emotional abuse. Gosh. So I'm going over this year, actually. So I'm going over in October to do some training for them.
Yeah, so many areas that you help with. I'd just like to say, I'd just like to pause at this point and say, you know, thank you for all the important work you do, because I think healing from trauma and mental health and well-being is just so vital. It's a part of my work, but obviously my work doesn't go into the therapeutic side, whereas your work does. Now, I've been really lucky enough to do some art well-being work with you. And although it's podcast and it's audio, I did bring along one of my art well-being. I did a mandala with you last time for my work, which was really fascinating. And would you like to share? I personally love coming along. I love coming along to do art, the sort of art well-being, because it brings out the arty, crafty side. It's a chance to get the pastels out, but also you're sat there with somebody who knows what they're doing and is going to guide you through an amazing session. So I find them really beneficial, sort of personally and professionally sometimes. And although I don't feel I'm in the need to come along, I find it very beneficial to come along, and I find it will help take your sort of life or work to the next level. So do people generally only book in if they've got a big problem?
Or no, not at all. No, not at all.
For the well-being side of things as well,
or
personal development and creativity.
Yeah, my community work here it can be for people that are feeling socially isolated or
who
are stuck, you know, just stuck, not able to sort of progress either in the sort of emotional life or work life. A lot of people have been really affected by COVID and the pandemic. It sort of paused their life, and it's kind of sometimes I think an art wellness or art well-being activity or course can help just push you into the next bit. I think everyone should do art, you know, everyone should do Pilates.
I agree.
Everyone should do art, everyone should sing, everyone should play, everyone should dance.
Yeah.
You know, that's what we're humans. We have the mammalian brain as well as the stem brain and the higher functioning brain. We're supposed to be social, we're supposed to do those social things, and that is dancing, singing, making art together.
We
need to keep those things going. It's really important, especially in these really stressful times. You know, we're living in a patriarchy that's run by logic and capitalism and very kind of in the box things, but you know, the female energy is more about the earth and intuition and celebrations and getting people together. And I think it's really important that we keep doing these social, playful activities.
Definitely. I mean, I found from my last art wellbeing session with you, so this is the mandala that I drew. So if you're on YouTube, you can see it. But obviously, if you're on the usual podcast audio platforms, I can just describe it to you. So it's a mandala that Emma got me to create for my work. And it was interesting. Some of the things that came out of that was, yes, I do my usual mindfulness Pilates teaching and helping people with their backs and, you know, their happiness and well-being and practicing daily and things like that, and their strength in body and mind, like we've chatted about earlier. But also, at, you know, one-to-one in classes, but also I started it was about branching out, and all the little leaves on here are about adding new growth of work in. So helping in corporate, helping lawyers, helping solicitors, helping their clients and families who might have been through a lot as well with things like my happy kids cards and stuff. And then it led into a chat with you about important that I start offering the mindfulness and well-being workshops for schools and children with, you know, like my happy kids cards, affirmations and things like that side of things. So it was bringing more expansion and growth to my work, which, you know, I was just looking forward to my session, and suddenly I'm offering more and more, you know, services in my work. So thank you for the amazing experience so far, and it will be to be continued. So before we go today, we've just got a few minutes left together. We will be doing a meditation after the tips. Emma said that she'd be happy to share with you three art well-being tips for daily life. So we'll start off with tip one. What would you like to share for a tip one for you listening?
So tip one is, I'm sure many of you may already do a morning journal practice, which, I mean, I do. I regularly, I do my morning journal. I think it's really important. It's a way of clearing the subconscious. But how about doing a morning picture? It can be a doodle. It doesn't have to, you know, people think, I need to have pastels, I need to have the space. No, you need a pen, piece of paper. That's it, literally. So how about when you do your morning journal, do a little doodle as well? Mm. Could just be a heart, could be a spiral, doesn't matter. Could be a bubble with some flowers coming out of it, whatever. Just have a little draw as well. 2 seconds, doesn't have to take long.
That's a wonderful tip one.
Let's it's a wonderful tip one, yeah. Or if you have a dream that you wake up with, instead of writing it, draw it, you know, draw the dream. And it, again, it doesn't have to be a masterpiece. It can just be a squiggle. It can be a couple of lines, you know. I think people think art has to be wonderful. It doesn't. Art can be a finished, highly finished, sophisticated piece, or it can be a doodle on a piece of paper. It really doesn't matter. It's the act of pushing a pen against a piece of paper and leaving a mark, basically. That's it.
What benefit will that give someone by expressing, putting that onto paper?
The brain is magical. You know, we have feelings and things that we can't put into words that a few lines on a page make sense of. You're taking stuff from your right brain into your left brain. You're taking feelings, thoughts, images, ideas into the cognitive side, the processing side, and it just makes a bit of magic. And you may not know right now what that does, but a few minutes later or halfway through the day, you'll go, oh, you know, I did that like cloud this morning. It's kind of making sense after what, you know, I woke up feeling. It you know, just give it some time. It helps to process.
Okay, tip two.
Tip two, draw your day as the weather. I think I did this with you.
Very interesting.
Yeah.
And so, you don't need to do business with weather. Anyway, carry on.
Yeah, it's something you can do at the end of the day, you know. How has your day been in the form of weather? Well, started off sunny, got a bit misty, and then there was a cold snap, you know. You know, if I had to do mine today, it was like, well, it started off sunny, it got a bit cold, and then it got very intense, like a cyclone, but it's kind of, the sky's clearing again. You know, the great thing about that, and you can draw that, you know, you can draw, everyone can draw a cloud, everyone can draw a sun, everyone can draw what a tornado might look like, but it's like this thing that things pass, they do pass. So a cold snap will pass, you know, so will the sun, but it's just bearing in mind that things are transient and it's okay. Difficult things will pass. So all nice things. So enjoy them while you have them. Another
tip three.
Tip three. Another great thing. This is based on Gestalt theory, but also Jung did it quite a lot. Is once you've done a drawing, or find an old drawing, or do a drawing in the moment, and then ask the drawing, what does it need? So you're not asking yourself, you're asking the drawing. So you could be asking the picture of the weather. Oh, what do you need? And it might be, oh, yeah, I need a bit of sunshine. So then you could say, well, how can I give myself that? And it might be, well, you just need to talk to that friend that always makes you laugh, or go and have some scrambled eggs on toast, because they always, the colour and the taste always makes you feel of summer, you know. It's just
That's a brilliant tip. Yeah, you got me to do that in my last art wellbeing session. This is my picture, it's me, I drew, but you asked me what I needed, and I've ticked off one of the things I needed, which was to go to a pretty garden and journal and sit and read and write and relax in nature. And the other thing on the what I needed was the sea, and after I see you today, I'm off to the sea for a swim.
Excellent, well done. So yeah, but get into the habit of asking the picture.
Yeah, ask the picture, it's really good.
Gives it another kind of
It's absolutely fantastic. Well, we're going to go into body scan meditation then, and we're going to come back, see you after, to say farewell for the day. So really enjoy, hope you enjoy the body scan meditation. Welcome to today's relaxation and meditation. And just simply close your eyes. Breathe and relax, sitting or lying down, either with your hands on your heart or wherever is comfortable for you. Breathe and relax. Enjoy your body scan relaxation. Breathing in through your nose and out through your mouth, relax. Enjoying the calming music as you breathe and relax. With the affirmation, I am relaxed. Breathe and relax. In through your nose, out through your mouth, relax. Relaxing more and more on each out breath. Breathe and relax. I am relaxed. One more like this. Breathe and relax. I am relaxed. Happy shoulders, just relax your shoulders. Relax your head, neck, back, hips, whole body. And wherever you are, right here, right now, just gonna scan through your body all the way from the head to the tips of your toes, all the way from your head to the tips of your fingers. I'm going to start off now by scanning all the way through from your head to the base of the spine, all the way through your head, your neck, your upper back, middle back to lower back. And now breathe naturally. Enjoy the natural rhythm of your own breath, in and out, your own pace, your own natural pace through your nose. And just notice if there's any area of tension, tightness, stiffness, or stress. If there is any, take a breath into that area. And if there isn't, just breathe into the whole area. And as you exhale naturally, just blow it out the window. You might want to blow loudly. It might make you laugh as well. And this time as you breathe in, fill that area with love, healing, and relaxation. As you exhale, breathe out love, healing, and relaxation. And now you're going to scan through, well done, you're now going to scan through your arms, your hands and fingers. If there's any area of tension, tightness, stiffness, or stress, breathe into it. As you exhale, blow it away. Blow it out the window. Just transmute into love and light. And now take another breath in. Scanning through, filling the air, and as you exhale, in and out, just fill that area with love, healing, and relaxation for you, especially for you. Relax. And now scanning through, all the way through your legs, all the way down to your feet and toes. If there's any area of tension, take a breath in. And blow it away. Relax. And now scan through again. Either breathe into the whole area or to a specific area if you like. And fill that area with love, healing, and relaxation. Breathe and relax. And now your whole body, scanning through your whole body as you breathe in to your whole body now, mind and spirit. And as you exhale in your own time, in and out naturally, filling your whole mind, body and spirit with love, healing and relaxation. Breathing out love, healing and relaxation. You are amazing. You are wonderful. Take a breath in now and a breath out. On the next in breath, deep breath in or yawn. Wiggle your fingers and your toes. Slowly open your eyes. Have a little stretch there if you like. If you're already sitting, just do some nice shoulder circles a few times backwards. If you're lying down, slowly roll onto your side, can't sitting. Take a few circles. Have a lovely glass of water afterwards and perhaps a gorgeous cup of tea. Sending you lots and lots of love. So I really hope you enjoyed today's body scan meditation. That was inspired by Emma today, because Emma says she loves body scan meditation. So how do you feel afterwards? We hope you really enjoyed that. And Emma, I just want to say thank you so much for coming on the podcast today. So where can every, I'm going to obviously put all your details in the show notes, but obviously you do private, you know, art therapy, art well-being. Is it the art therapy and art well-being as well, privately as well as your...
So privately I do art therapy, and that's one-to-one. I can be hard to do groups. I'm pretty full up at the moment, but you know, have a look on my website. And if you're listening in the South End area, we have free art wellbeing groups at Net Park Wellbeing in Chalkwell Park. You can find us on Metal Cultures website. I think I've given those links to Beverly as well.
Yeah, that's lovely. I'll put those in the show notes. And what's your website where everyone can find you?
So if you just type in Emma Mills Art Therapy, I'll come up.
Lovely.
There's only one of me at the moment. There is an Emma Mills writer, but I'm the only art therapist I know at the moment.
That's lovely.
So you can find me there.
Yeah, that's wonderful. And thank you so much for sharing your Pilates journey, more about art therapy, art well-being, psychotherapy, and how it's helped and how it's helped you also on your journey. That's been amazing. Have you got one parting word of wisdom, whether it's Pilates, art therapy, that you'd like to say before you go?
Just don't forget the arts. Don't forget your creativity. You know, we have this gift from whoever, the universe, God, I don't know, our ancestors, but we have this fantastic innate ability to dance, to sing, to make marks on paper. And don't lose it, use it. You know, it's there for a reason.
Thank you so much, Emma. Lots of love.
It's a pleasure. Thank you so much for having me on.
Thank you for listening to this episode of the Mindfulness Pilates podcast. Please rate and review on your podcast platform. You can access my free healing meditation and Pilates to ease back pain in 3 minutes on my website. You can also book your reduced back pain to feel good one-to-one mindfulness Pilates program on Zoom or mindfulness Pilates membership by going to mindfulnesspilates.com.